Well, I was in this very spot 2 or 3 years back, and I told the story of how I acquired my dog, Jack. At the time, he was actually sitting in the back row, and embarrassedly, even though I knew that no one else would know, I listened to him bark all the way through the service. Inside, as I was extolling the friendship and love that Jack gave me, I was secretly thinking, shut up, Jack, shut up, you know, because you know the bark of your dog, don't you? He was such a barker, particularly when young, and it certainly was, at the time, a great security with small children. We always knew when someone was about, and he often anticipated people at the door, as dogs can, with that amazing sixth sense. But as you heard, I said, was. My long-suffering, beloved friend and companion, Jack, died on Easter Sunday this year. He was around 16 years old, and I'm proud to say that, yes, he was an SPCA special. Aged around 4 years when we got him, so we had 12 years together, and it really did change my life. I'd never had a dog before. Cats, yes. But dog was our first dog. I loved him dearly. He had a great personality and loved to have fun and dash about madly and of course, go for those long, long walks. And there's nothing like coming home after a long day, exhausted, and think, oh, you know, there you are, you've got to get out. But it changes your perspective and it's so good for your soul. But not only do I miss him waiting on the front veranda, waiting for me when I get home, for his patience, his loyalty, for those walks that I don't have now. But I miss that special love that we have with a dog or an animal. But for me, it was with Jack. When they look into your eyes and you know that they know just what you mean. Animals at their best are truly beloved companions, and I understand why it is advised that elderly people have pets. I can always remember reading, there were three things I was reading, and they were saying, elderly people should have three things, a pet and stairs, and I can never remember the third thing. So if anyone here knows, tell me afterwards, but I know stairs and pets were a wonderful thing. But I can understand, they are companions, they give so much warmth, and they are there to touch, to stroke, to cuddle, to care for, to love, to sleep on a lonely bed at night when someone is suddenly alone. They become an integral part of one's life. But interestingly, we always think that animals attach themselves to humans who feed and care for them. But they obviously bond together as well. Witness the ubiquitous cat and dog snuggling photos that we see everywhere. But I think it's much more interesting to look at the relationships between animals themselves. Along with much of the rest of the world who read about it in the newspaper and saw it on YouTube, I was moved by the story earlier this year of a rescuing dog in Santiago, Chile. And if you haven't seen it, it's worth looking it up on the internet. It's really poignant and very beautiful. The scene is a really, really busy motorway, sort of like a flyover. And we see the body of a dog who has been hit. There are cars and trucks swerving all over the place to avoid the dog. And this goes on for quite some time. But out of the corner of the picture, we see another dog making its way through the dense and really fast traffic. I mean, there is trucks and everything going everywhere. The dog weaves in and out and crosses multiple lanes until he gets to his friend, whereupon he drags the body of his friend with his teeth, again weaving in and out of traffic to the far side of the road. It was just amazing, and it still is. It still moves me. They were both strays, these dogs. No one knew the identity of either dog, and it did become a bit of a phenomenon. Rewards were put out for the surviving rescuer, and masses of people wanted to adopt him or her. But no one was able to find the dog, who obviously went to ground. but it is an important and significant act for a dog to rescue his friend who is sick or who is dying or who in this case was dead on the side of the road. Common folklore has it that when domestic animals such as dogs and cats live wild, they turn more feral. That's what we always understand. Interestingly, we don't associate this with bonding and relationship. We are more used to frightened and hostile stray animals. This dog contravenes this theory. He was trying to save his beloved friend, and it's all quite beautiful and very sad, and actually teaches us that dogs are a lot cleverer than we ever think they could be. But animals are also vastly underrated in their potential for creativity and intelligence. Take birds, for example. Rooks are evidently very intelligent, and in England, they conducted an experiment with some rooks in captivity just over the last year or so. They put some wriggling worms in a little bucket at the bottom of a wide glass tube with just a straight piece of wire beside it. Remarkably, despite having never seen this before, the rooks immediately got to work bending the wire so they could put it down the tube to hook the bucket of worms out. I mean, it's amazing, like, to have animals like that. Chimpanzees make tools, but really, apart from that, animals don't make tools. And these birds actually made these hooks out of wire to get this food. Another time, they had to select a stone out of a great big pile of stones of all different sizes. They had to select a stone to put down a tube and so to release some meat. Every time they did it, they selected a stone of the right size, straight off. I mean, it's really, really quite astounding. So it's obvious that animals have their own intelligence and emotional framework. They too are sentient living beings. And it is therefore difficult to read of animal cruelty and abuse of any kind. In fact, it is often more painful than cruelty to humans, as animals are without a voice to protest. They are so very, very vulnerable. Well, the 19th century saw the establishment of the SPCA in England. Before that, there had been sporadic prosecutions for ill treatment of animals, but only because of damage to animals as property. People saw them very much as property just to be used and abused, and they were of no count whatsoever. There was some concern for animal rights and welfare, but this didn't generally gain wide acceptance. 1822 marks the first conviction for cruelty to an animal. In this case, it was a donkey. This donkey who had been severely beaten by its owner and was brought into an astonished courtroom where, you know, the courtroom had been bored by the mere notion of an injured donkey, but the owner actually, the person who was prosecuted actually brought the donkey in there. Well, this case delighted the newspapers and the music halls of the time, who made great fun of the story and joked about the testimony of a donkey. And a painting celebrating the courtroom scene hangs in the RSPCA headquarters in London to this day. Also, concern for animals was closely allied to the anti-slavery awareness of the time, and the concept of animal rights grew alongside this. But 1839 marks the date when Schopenhauer, a German philosopher, strongly supported the growing English stance on the treatment or the maltreatment of animals. He wrote vigorously about this in protest against the more backward European attitudes. He wrote in his book, The Basis of Morality, quote, "It is asserted that beasts have no rights, that there are no duties to be fulfilled towards animals. Such a view is one of revolting coarseness, a barbarism of the West." And he also said beautifully, "Shame on such a morality that is worthy of pariahs," which means social outcasts, "and that fails to recognize the eternal essence that exists in every living thing." Well, even though my Jack is languishing beside a grapefruit tree in my garden with a small tombstone of Mount Eden Rock at his head, there has emerged another eternal essence in my life. Not a dog, not yet, but dear, sweet, mad, scratchy, wild Daisy, a ginger female kitten who hugs me close and keeps me awake at night, getting in and out of my bed. Such a luxury and a privilege, I might add. But I can't resist. The love and warmth and solace she provides are beyond comprehension, and only cat lovers can know what I mean. So I am very lucky. Many people say to me, I'm a cat lover, or I'm a dog lover. Well, I've had both, and I wouldn't trade either. Both are irrefutable evidence to me of the eternal essence, the spirit of life that this place, St. Matthew's, is all about in the daily round of our lives. We never forget our beloved companions, and how can we ever, when they make us more truly human than we can ever be with another human being? With our animals, our adored pets, it is all give and all take, all together, all the time. Which is just how it should be. So I say, Viva Jack, rest in peace. Amen.